and gentlemen, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We're recording right now at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. This is show number 145, January 26, 2006. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
Yes, sir, Thomas. All right, let's hear it for rumor has it, but it's not true. I've checked it out, that the Shaw boy is not holding out for more money.
He's in a mandatory meeting, I understand.
Mandatory. That's
anyway,
scary.
He'll probably come in about halfway through the show
that's
today.
Right.
We'll
holding
see
out
anyway.
For more money? What's that? I saw him hobnobbing with his agent, and I didn't know if it was, you know, his contract was up or what.
All right. My name's Tom Houston. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil.
Oh. Well, there's always Mark Christie, you know.
Yeah, right.
Forget about him. Hello there, welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, 145. Today, it's cloudy, gloomy, rainy. Not really rainy, but just, it's not a pleasant day in the piney woods today.
It's like the temperature's in the 50s, but it seems colder than that.
It does. I don't know. It's just not, it's not a day conducive to
Outdoor
stuff.
Project.
Well, yeah. We've been spoiled, too. We've had such good
we
weather.
We have, man.
Sunshine galore. I'm telling you, it's been nice. And you finally got a little rain, which we needed.
Oh, we did need it. We got, I think, 2.5 inches of rain some places. It rained all day Sunday, and I was hungover and couldn't enjoy it. Built a fire or anything. It was a rough Saturday night. Randy and Will Hudgens was down. I told you about Will Hudgens.
Uh-huh.
Will was down from Boston, and Randy Prince and Brian Harkness came by, and we played till about 3 o'clock Saturday, Sunday morning.
Oh, boy.
Sit around and played music. Played every tune them drivers knew.
Boy. So you did feel bad Sunday.
I did. Sunday was a little rough. Soup all day, you know. Never got out of my night clothes. I didn't. I woke up about 10 and by about 2, I was thinking, well, hell, it'll be dark in 3.5 hours. Ain't no point in putting my clothes on. I just, you know, that's more information you needed, I know. But it was a good Sunday. But I felt all right by Tuesday afternoon.
Well,
those hurt.
Will Hutchins guy?
Hutchins, yeah. Hey,
pretty strong, huh?
Player?
Yes.
Oh, man. Plays with the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, man. He ought to be good.
He's a picker. Plays vibes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Plays vibes and piano and drums and just a... Yeah, good musician. Of course, he's wanting, he wouldn't play the instrument he's good on. He wants to play guitar.
Oh, well, isn't it always like that, though?
I guess it is.
I mean, if you're a musician, you always want to learn another instrument.
Yeah, not me. I want to learn the one I'm supposed to be playing.
Yeah. I can play a radio, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You remember me taking piano lessons.
No.
Yes, you did. I was living in your house at the time.
You took piano lessons?
Well, yeah. Remember the preacher.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, I lasted about 3 lessons.
Lie the preacher. 3 lessons.
And she politely asked me not to come back. And,
she did.
No, she didn't. But anyway, Leonard Ward's wife.
Judy.
Yeah.
You know, I do remember that. I had that little piano at that time sitting in the playroom. And I'd forgotten about you doing that. Took piano lessons. How come you didn't? What happened?
I don't know. I just lost interest. I thought that if you took piano lessons after the first lesson, you could, you know, play Ronnie Millsap songs.
No.
But it
doesn't work like that.
All kinds of exercises and everything. And so it kind of bored me.
Well, it is boring. Practicing is boring, but the only way to get to where you want to be
is practice.
Well, a guy said, New York, riding around New York, said, "Call, stop the gun. How do you get to Carnegie Hall?" The guy said, practice.
You know, that's
right. Remember that? All the old jokes in the world. Yeah, all right. Well, here we are, cloudy, gloomy day. Well, we just quit now.
Yeah.
Put on an album. Let's go to the bar and go across the river or something. Anyway, it's... Do I had a joke I was going to tell you, but I can't remember what it was. Aren't you glad?
Just as well. Go ahead.
Well, okay.
Let's mail
here. It says, "Hi, I'm having problems with my hot water heater. For one, I hear a loud noise coming from it, which it goes on and off. Now, second, I just found out today the hot water heater is not getting hot as it used to. Now, the heater has been heating up like it was. The hot water tank is not even 3 years old yet. So I don't understand why it might be going out this early. We got the tank from the people who does weatherization for free. Could someone give me some suggestions to check for? My stepfather said that it sounds like it's coming out of the blower, I guess from the furnace. Would the switch box have anything to do with it?
What's he talking about, hot water tank?
I don't know. He's just a hot water tank here. He's having problems. The loud noise coming
furnace
from
furnace. This must be a furnace, Pat. What do you think?
I have no idea unless they're doing their hot water and furnace on the same burner. He said a blower, too.
Yeah, and then he mentioned the switch box also.
Yeah, but, goodness, I have no idea.
He must be talking about...
And I don't know where he lives. If it's, like, up north and it's some kind of oil burning contraption
that... it doesn't say.
Or gas or...
Well, it could be heating water and running it through the pipes and blowing air across the coil, with hot water.
Yeah, that's the true. I have... if it was electric heater, I might could help him. But the gas, it either kind of works or doesn't. I have no idea unless he's got some kind of solenoids in the line that let the water flow and not flow, or like you said, if it's an electrical problem. But I couldn't.
Unless there's some sort of thermostat, he must be talking about a furnace, a furnace that heats water in a coil, runs the hot water through the coil, and then blows air across the coil and heats your house.
Since you mentioned weatherization, you would think that.
Yeah,
steam, if they're doing a radiator system or something.
But he got it free. You might buy one. You know what he said? Who is this? Is this anybody I know?
Otis Blue.
I don't know Otis. We'll have to get back to him. But I thought at first he was talking about just a hot water tank, like you heat water for your bath.
Yeah.
Or your shower or whatever.
Well, I did too to begin with.
And I figured if it makes a popping noise, it'd have to be gas, and it was a pilot light coming on, but that's out.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
We've got a switch box. It must be electric. Otis, we've been a lot of help, I know. And call us anytime. We'll be glad to jump right in and help you out here.
Okay, here's a guy who says, hello. I'm needing to build a computer desk for my wife. She's short, so I'm going to custom build it for her height.
Uh-huh.
I've done some woodworking projects, but nothing this big. I was hoping to make it out of solid oak. Unfortunately, the largest single piece of oak I can get is 6 feet long, 12 inches. Yep. 12 inches wide and 3/4 inches thick. So I'll be using oak plywood for most of it. I have a table saw and router for power tools. Any tips, ideas, suggestions would be appreciated. This from Michael.
Yeah, oak veneer plywood is much better. You'd have to do a lot of gluing and a lot of sanding if you built it out of oak, just plain real oak. Most of those things are built out. They say oak, but it's oak veneer, just plywood that's got oak veneer on it. If I was going to build a real computer desk, I think I'd put it together with dowels instead of drywall screws.
Hmm.
You know? In other words, you're going to join two boards together at right angles. You drill holes in both of them and glue a dowel between them instead of using a drywall screw. Because if you use screws, then you're going to have to put little pegs in, like they give you, to cover up the ends of them. Because sighted people don't like to see screws for some reason. They want you to cover. You always get those little pegs, those little things you slip in and cover them up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put it together with dowels. You could probably, actually, if your wife is sighted, or if she's not, doesn't make any difference, you could probably go on the internet and find a set of plans for a computer desk. That'd be the sensible thing to do, wouldn't it?
Sense. I think, or even, of course, he may just want to build it, but could go maybe find an office supply place and find one that you could customize, that put together. Maybe you could...
Short is she?
Yeah, cut it down somehow. but I would say, getting the plans off the internet, you could probably do that. Some idea. The good thing about not working with oak either is I have a notion that you'd probably need some really good saw blades.
You would.
Working with oak. So and then if you've screwed up, heaven forbid, you haven't damaged an expensive piece of wood. So
yeah, because oak wood would be expensive to work with. And, but, I bet you could find some one at Office Max that you could put together and maybe leave the legs off of or make shorter and some. Because they're not – computer desks seem like to me Luann's computer desk is not table height. Table height is what, 34 inches?
No, I'm not sure.
It's lower than that. We put it together, but it seems like it's a whole lot lower than that. And hers, the one that we put together for her, has a keyboard drawer that pulls out. Right. Luann is short. Luann is 5'2". She says she's 5'3", but she's not. And she sits in a low chair with a skin. She just, of course, now she has a wireless keyboard, so she holds the keyboard in her lap. You know, so she doesn't even use the roll-out drawer. That's that may be the answer to that. Man, building a computer desk is a pretty massive project. But good luck, and let us know how you come out there. We haven't answered any.
Well, I wish they'd quit. It sounds like it's a plan. Stump the handyman.
Read some emails. Got some questions.
I've got one coming up here that both of you guys are experts in.
Right. We need to screen the email from
how
now.
How many dogs do you have, Patterson?
I have. I have four.
And Phil has a couple, and I have a couple.
I do.
And this question is, I've got two lab puppies, and I need to know if any of you have any experience housebreaking puppies. And this is out in Austin, Hank and Gail.
Hank and Gail in Austin. We'll have to go see him. Patterson, we'll let you handle this. My dogs are housebroken.
Our big dogs are, too, but we've actually housebroken all of them. I don't think you go into any procedure. Now, we've had some trouble with one, but anyway, we start them off, or my wife is really the dog person, but she always crate trains her dogs. And if you start making the dog go in his crate, especially when they're little puppies, they're going to sleep a lot, 20 hours a day. Every time they wake up, take them outside. And I don't know how old your puppies are. And if you can get them to, you know, wee once in a while, and if you're lucky, they'll poo a little bit. But then as they stay in their crate overnight, they tend not to relieve themselves on themselves.
But don't you have one that at 10 o'clock at night on the money?
That's Trip, and we've not ever been able to have. We just, you let him out, and you watch him, and then you put him in his crate. He's back. So he does not have privileges of the house. Ozzie and Rosie, you couldn't. They're housebroken, have been forever. Trip, the little border collie, we've kind of given up on him. He sleeps in his crate, and he holds it all night. If you let him out of his crate, he does not.
But he's going to sleep in his crate the rest of his life.
The rest of his life, or out in a suitable.
And then the little
puppy, that she's very intelligent, and that's what we do. And she stays in her crate, and when she starts rustling around, the first thing you do is go get her, take her outside. She usually wants a drink, and then she wants to get on the grass and
use the bathroom,
then come in and stuff herself, and then go out again.
So you've got two dogs at night. You have two in the crate and two roaming the house.
Well, they're not roaming. They sleep as long as we do.
And
so they. But the labs should be easy to break, especially if you crate train them. And also, you know, there's an old expression, they have a bladder like a lab. I don't believe any dog. Ozzy, I believe, could stay. He's mostly lab. He could stay in the house, I believe, 15 hours without, you know.
That's a long time.
Frankie is mostly lab. We don't have any papers on her, but she's a lab. And she... I don't know how she, but she came to us. She had an accident twice in the house, and we've had her 5 years. It'll be tomorrow. It will be 5 years, as a matter of fact, that we've had Frankie. And she's never done anything in the house except twice she's had a little accident.
Well, Rosie, you know, was injured from the get-go, and she's about as lab like Frankie. And the only problem with Rosie was we don't know what injuries she suffered internally along. I mean, she's perfectly healthy now, except she's crippled with her leg. But if you scold Rosie, or she doesn't take the strangers, and if somebody and you excite her, she may have a little accident. Yeah. But other than just asking to go out, Ozzie and Rosie tell you when they want to go out.
You know. Yeah, Sarah does. And I don't know how Sarah learned, but she, one time since we've had her, and we've had her 5 months, she TT'd in the bedroom. One time, and I don't know if it was because she couldn't get anybody up, but that's maybe just marking territory, actually.
But back on the training, if you don't crate train, I'm no expert, but I've heard people talking about paper training them. You put paper in a certain... The only thing is, if you create a place in the house for them to go, then they will learn to go whether the paper's there or not. I would always train my dog to go outside. I mean, if you want to paper train them, put the paper outside.
I've heard of people rolling up a newspaper, and if they have an accident in the house, and they see them doing it, they'll take that newspaper and swat them a couple of times and put them outside.
Yeah, well, we scold. I just think it's a natural thing. Some dogs are better at it than others.
But easier to train. Poodles, like Shotzi, with Tom. Mm-hmm. We never were able to train her. I mean, it was just, you just naturally, you just clean up after.
And she was very smart.
She was a very smart dog, but she was crapping in the house till the day she died. You just clean up after. I mean, that was all you could do, or get rid of her, one of the two, and I loved her to death. But Frankie and Sarah and Charmer and Charlie, the ones we've had in this house, have been no... Charlie got old, and Charlie got to where she didn't want to bother anybody. She'd go. You had to keep the other extra bedroom doors closed, but that's just because she was 16 years old. She just didn't want to...
I've got two, and thank God they're outside dogs.
Yeah.
And they're old country dogs, you know. They get out and waller in the dirt and all that stuff, so we keep them outside. Yeah. So I've never had that problem. Now, I've had cats that I kept inside the house.
You have.
But I've never had one that would mess in the house.
Old Sneaker.
Old Sneaker was a good one. The first day that Cleta brought Sneaker home,
yeah,
he jumped up in the bed with me and peed.
Is that cat or dog?
It's a cat.
Oh,
and I was ready to kill him.
I had a girlfriend did that.
He turned out. He turned up. My wife works nights, so she's coming on real early, and I'm still in the bed.
Yeah.
And so she brings the cat in because we had just lost a cat, and she brought it in, and it got in the bed, and it did its business, and I got mad. I was going to throw it outside, but it turned out that's the only time that cat ever did that. And I don't know if he was marking territory or what.
Marking you.
But we put him outside, and after that, he never did it again. He was the best cat I ever had.
Well, see, our two cats that we have are primarily outside cats. However, in the cold weather, I've been letting them in. But neither of them have ever offered to go to the bathroom in the house. I mean,
Sneaker didn't even have a litter box. We didn't even put a litter box.
I won't have a litter box.
I've had cats that we put litter box out.
Yeah. You come in the front door, you can smell it, damn litter box. I can't.
Boy, yes.
You all right, we have a fella that named Ernest Jones that has quite a bit of experience in gardening. And so we're going to try a little experiment and talk about growing different things. He was telling me yesterday about tomatoes that he had grown in his hothouse. So we'll talk gardening with Ernest Jones in just a minute on the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Blind Handyman List Serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I have found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
A heart like
Thank you. listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
We almost didn't make it. I was straining there trying to figure out what was going on. Our guest today is a gentleman from, I believe, Seattle, Washington. His name is Ernest Jones. And, Ernie, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. Actually, I'm from the other corner of Washington, though, down in the southeast, what used to be barren country.
What city would that be close to?
Walla Walla.
Walla Walla.
Walla Walla.
The city's so nice, they named it twice, I guess.
I'm told that Walla is an Indian name, and Walla Walla, saying it twice, means many... Walla is an Indian name for a water.
Uh-huh.
And saying it twice means many waters, but...
Oh.
I haven't figured out where the many waters are.
Oh, I think there's a poem here somewhere. Hi, Ernest.
There must be. That's a Don Patterson.
Don Patterson here. Glad to meet you.
Okay.
And
good to meet you.
Tom Houston is also here with us.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Don.
Well, let's see. You've heard some of these shows, so you know the character. Don Shaw is the only one missing. He had a meeting today. He's a technology, access technology specialist at our little two-year college here. So he had a meeting that he had to go to and listen to some guy talk about something. Let me ask first, what is your level of vision?
My level of vision presently is I have just a little bit of light perception in one eye.
Uh-huh.
Occasionally, I can tell the difference between a sidewalk in the lawn or a building,
mm-hmm.
and other times there's no difference between whether it's grass, gravel, pavement, building, or whatever.
Yeah, so you really virtually have no vision.
Yeah. If when it seems to be a little better and I start depending, that's when I run into trouble.
Yeah, go ahead and do it blind, well, you're all right. If you try to depend on that vision, you're getting...
That's right.
I've heard other people say that. I think Shawboy says the same thing. The best way, if you can't see, is just do it like a blind person would do it.
Usually hits me when I'm in the kitchen. We got plenty of light, and sometimes I can focus and see the counter, like with the sink faucets and the counter.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I better be careful, because the corners run out pretty fast.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, it's... Being blind, just deal with it. How long have you been, we're talking about gardening, how long have you been growing things? All your life?
All my life. I remember as a kid, of course then I didn't like to, but out either pulling rocks out of the garden or weeding.
Uh-huh.
And this is as a, 6, 8, 9, whatever in the area.
Okay.
13, 14, I started having little gardens on my own. They didn't amount to a lot, but I still was working at them.
But so your parents were into gardening?
Mainly for household use.
Yeah, just
growing up for the summer and for fall, for winter use.
Growing enough vegetables to can a few things or what?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Up there, where you live, and you're east, I guess, of the mountains, where you're not affected so much by the marine climate, I mean, what kind of growing season for all practical purposes would y'all have?
We've got the growing season's pretty much like on the west, but we're drier.
Uh-huh.
What I plan on where I'm at, I like to have early crops, the cool weather crops, in by the end of March. And then about the end of April, I start planting everything else. Once in a while, we may get a frost in early May. I've been okay at this. And we may get a frost third week of September.
Yeah.
Or so, but may not get any until in late October.
Right.
So your weather's colder, a little cooler than ours.
Yes, yes. In a shorter season.
Was that Don Shaw just walked in?
Yeah, it is, and I'm here to talk about gardening, by gosh.
You met Don Shaw, hadn't you? He just walked in the door.
I have.
Hi there, Ernie.
Hi, Don.
So, Ernie, what is some of the better crops for your area? I mean, that you...
Well, the crops growing up here, it's a high area for fruits, peach, apricot, apple, pear. There's just out of the agricultural area, it's huge. Oh, I don't know how many acres, huge acres of grain, alfalfa, over the rolling lands. We grow corn. Corn grows real good. We grow tomatoes. I've had good crop of watermelons, especially the rattlesnake, which we've had some 30-some pounders.
Goodness.
Really?
I've tried my hand at peanuts and didn't do too bad at 1 year. I've grown yams. They've grown real good, but I've had a little trouble with something in the soil. They would be a little more deformed than the ones you buy.
Okay, well, just to kind of get us off to a start here, for we're talking about blind people gardening. You know how a sighted people would garden. They would simply go out there and they would till up their soil, and they would maybe mark off the rows themselves just with their eyes, and they'd know not to step on the plants. Whereas a blind person can't do that. You've got to have some way to enable you to get around in your garden without destroying what you're trying to grow. Right? Correct?
That's correct.
All right. Well, tell us, first of all, give us some ideas of how to do that.
Well, there are two ways. One could raise make some raised beds, which would obviously put them up a little higher so you'd bump in. But for the garden like I do, I have to have someone come in and rototill it up for me. With my wife's help, was sighted.
That is just something a blind person cannot do.
Yeah, I rototilled for a long time. I rototilled by laying a white board down, and I could make one or two passes. Then I'd stop and move the board over and
sure.
Fill another pass or two.
Yeah.
At this stage, I can't. I have to get him in and. I've been getting the same man. He does a good job.
So you just can't see well enough to do it anymore?
Not anymore.
Okay.
And I think the main thing is to know, have a picture in your mind as where you put the garden, the area, and I keep it in the same spot, although over the years I've shrunk it down and made it smaller.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how big a plot are you talking about here outside?
Right now I'm talking about probably about a 75-foot long by about 25, 30-foot wide.
That's a pretty good undertaking.
It sure is.
And that's about half what it was just a few years ago.
Okay, now do your rows run lengthwise or crossways?
They run crosswise.
So they run the 25-foot length.
Yes, and
okay.
That is more or less east and west.
Okay.
At first, I started with a sprinkler system, and I'm one that doesn't like to walk in muddy, soft soil after it's just soaked down.
Really? Makes sense.
And so first off, I got extra sprinklers and had them preset in the garden. So when one set would overlap another set, and I had a hose from that sprinkler coming to the end, the edge, where I could hook it up to the holes, to the water supply.
Okay.
So I didn't have to go in on the wet area. But about, it's been 8 or 9, maybe 10 years ago, I went entirely to soaker hoses. These are the...
I know what they are. Soaker. With little holes in them.
Yeah.
No, they don't have holes. They're little brown, black, made out of recycled tires.
Mm-hmm.
And you use low pressure and they seep. They get holes with wear, and if the pressure's too high, they'll start spraying. But
and you bury this hose, don't you, under the ground?
I can bury or I can leave on top. With corn, I leave on top. Most of the others I bury. And I've gone through and I've cut these holes as in our case it would be the western boundary of the garden, the lengthwise. I made a PVC line running the length, and I cut and put in hose adapters every 2 or 3 feet.
Corresponding to the head of the row.
Yes. And then to these I could fasten my soaker hoses, and I found out even though I can have a 200-foot soaker hose that will do pretty good, typically the shorter ones do better, so I cut them to fit the row.
Okay.
And put new male or female ends on it.
Okay, but now you have to fix. Say you've got 20 of these along your PVC pipe. You've got to fix the rest of them where the water only comes out of the one you want to use.
What I've got, I've got a Y connector about right in the middle, and I'll water one half at a time. I'll do one half for about 12. I think it's about. Roughly 12 hoses at a time.
Yeah, so you might do one half one evening or one morning and the next one the next day or whatever.
Yeah. And the connections for these hoses are at the head of the, where if you walk between them, you're not going to step on watermelon.
That's right. If I, there's several advantages of using soaker hoses. One, the one I started with, well, one is you save water. You use much less water.
Yeah.
In my case, that's not a problem because I got a deep well. But unless there's rain, I also walk on dry soil in between the rows.
Okay.
Because they do not get wet. Dry soil will cut down on the weeds. It doesn't stop, but it does slow them some. I'll lay my line out and I'll stretch the second line. And I'll step off between the first two, the distance between my hose connections on the PVC line.
Okay.
So then when I go to the other end, I can step off and get approximately the same width apart.
Where your rows will be approximately straight.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if it's straight, right?
Well, sometimes I've had them fairly crooked, but I had help one time, and they came out more crooked than me.
Yeah, and a little small garden like that. So that enables you to walk walk on dry soil and be able to look at what your plants are doing without getting your big feet on them.
That's right. And then a good thing is to remember when it comes to care is just know what you've planted. If you know what's planted in the row, then it's easier when you're down there on your knees or squatting down and feeling. You pretty well can figure out what's growing there and whether it should be there or if it shouldn't be.
Well, and you can also look for weeds, and I guess if there's any weeds.
Snakes and things.
Yeah,
right. Just whatever.
I'm sure you've run across snakes in your garden, haven't you?
Actually, we don't have many here. This area can have it. In fact, there's areas with rattlesnakes, but none down in this area have been noted for, I guess, decades.
Mm.
Never seen any.
Lucky.
Occasionally a little garter snake.
Okay, so you've got your what was that? That was the computer.
Yes, it was.
That was a computer. I think that's a message saying something.
Yeah,
anyway, I need to update my virus check. That's
a story.
That's exactly what it was.
I need to update my virus check. Okay, you're tilled up. You've got your PVC pipe laid. You got you're ready to plant. What do we do? You do the planting yourself?
I do the planting. I do probably. Well, the last couple of years, I've done 100% of the planting.
Yeah.
I enjoy planting. And again, it varies with what you're planting.
Yeah.
As far as the depth and how you're putting it, whether you're cutting up potatoes to plant the parts or beans or real fine carrot seed.
Uh-huh.
You want to leave room between your rows. Something I fought and I still have trouble is in the beginning it looks like a long ways between the rows. But when it comes to some plants, pretty soon you're going to need that room.
Yeah, in other words, until something starts growing, it looks like a long way. When it does, then it doesn't look so big, right?
That's right. Pardon me?
Oh, I was just going to say, starting off in the planting thing, so this is just kind of the all-American truck garden. You're going to plant, what, four or five or six somethings? Or?
Oh, yeah. I plant just a variety of household stuff, really. And I'm one typically will try something new to experiment, and I come up with some good tries, and sometimes, well, it was fun trying.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. That's okay. That's what it's all about. Like, give us a half-dozen things like this year. It's not time to plant. What are you going to grow this year? What do you think?
Well, my early garden, weather permitting, will be potatoes.
All right.
And then carrots.
All right.
And I'm not sure about peas yet. I kind of like the fresh ones. They're a big bother for what you get when you can get them cheaper otherwise.
Yeah, I like peas myself, man.
But yeah?
There's something nice about just going out in there. Beets would be another one. I've started adding flowers. And so about the time I can put in my potatoes and carrots, I can add gladiola bulbs.
Now, your wife likes to see those, right?
She... Oh, yeah. Yeah, and other people do. I've really, my early years was trying to get flowers. I've always wanted flowers. And
yeah.
I would grow them. As my sight diminished, then I cut down, and finally I just pretty much gave up. But I planted some sweet peas out in front, and my wife and neighbors so enjoyed them that I'm just slowly enlarging. Other people can enjoy them.
Yeah, that's a good. We like to help our sighted brethren and sisters with growing a few flowers. But anyway, so beets, peas, potatoes, carrots, that'll be kind of the spring, the early, that'll be the stuff that you're going to grow this spring.
That's pretty much what I'll be putting in. Right. And I'll leave my carrot row so the next row will have room for some tomatoes, because carrots and tomatoes like each other.
They do? What do you mean like each other?
Yeah, I have not really come up with the complete reason. I've read about it, and in my garden they seem to, so it's a good patch. One row will be carrots, and I'll put my tomatoes the next row.
All right. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take a little break, and then we want to talk some physical depth of planting and how you plant and how you know how close together to put things. We're talking gardening with Ernest Jones this afternoon or today on the Blind Handyman Show. Be right back. Hang on. Blind Handyman List Serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I have found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir.
I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
You know, I was just thinking, Ernie, you know, you were talking a while ago about it seems like you plant things far apart, and then as the growing season goes on, as the plants grow, they get closer together. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of one of the few times that I've done a little gardening, and I'm talking very little compared to what you do. I planted some yellow squash plants in this raised bed. Uh-huh. And I said, yeah, maybe four plants sure isn't very much. Maybe I'll try to plant some more in there. But I didn't, and luckily I didn't, because, man, those four plants grew, I mean, everywhere, out of the bed, into the yard. They just grew and rambled on forever. So I know what you mean about plants and space, and it's just hard to know really what you have until things start growing.
That brings to mind a friend of mine when we lived up north, and first year of planting garden in that area, and his wife had bought him two different of the zucchini plants, two different types of the zucchini. And he ended up planting both complete packages. And I just, oh no.
Yeah.
And fortunately, and I don't mean fortunately for them, that his water supply ran out, which that's not good.
Yeah,
but at least it curbed him, so he only had a few extra squash.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh, yeah. That could have been a man. That could, he could have been overrun with.
He planted all of both of them.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Usually I'll plant 4 to 6 seeds, and have plenty
of squash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
4 to 6 seeds, and that's all.
Usually, because on the zucchini. Usually about 3 plants in a hill, and I may have 2 hills. Usually, I'm hoping for just 1 because that still gives us all we want.
All the squash you want for the year.
And enough to give away, too.
Oh, yeah, with those 4 plants we did that year. God, we had more and gave it away, and it just, man. So
before, of course, nowadays, if you wanted information on how deep to plant seed or how close together to plant them, you could look on the internet. What'd you do before that? I mean, do you have a file on this, or you just know it, or what? How do you?
Either I just remember from what my dad said, or I started by guess and just went from there. Typically, you want about twice the size of the seed over the top of the seed.
Twice the size of the seed on top of the seed.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a shovel, and you dig a little hole, you drop seed down in there, and you put ground back on it. That's it.
Usually with me on the potatoes, you cut the potatoes up, you know, and make sure you have an eye on each piece. And they're bigger chunks, so... I can get them several inches down and be fine.
Uh-huh.
When I'm coming to my seeds like beans or corn or peas or even the squash, the ground will be soft. I have my row laid out, and I'll just push with my finger. I'll just push the seed down in.
Just push the seed down with your finger?
An inch down or so.
So you don't bother digging a hole?
No, if the ground's soft enough from being worked up recently, I just use my finger and just push the seed in a half inch or so.
I'm wondering, do you reckon they make a tool for doing that? Some sort of a deal for pushing seeds?
They yeah. have different ones I've read, especially for, I think I read for corn.
Uh-huh.
I know they've had something that you can put, like for carrot seeds, that you can roll and spread and get them thinner.
Yeah.
I have not tried them.
Yeah. Ernest,
I don't know.
Do you have, speaking of seeds, do you have like a favorite place that you get your seeds, mail order? I know that used to be really popular. Or do you buy them locally or save some of your own? Like I've seen farmers do their own corn. Or
pretty much all of what you said.
Yeah?
I have some favorite places that I buy our seed. Partly today, when ordering seed, I try to go by getting what I can and also cutting down on the shipping and handling.
Right, yeah.
Some of the companies have something I would like, but to buy one or two packages of seed, I pay triple it just for the shipping and handling.
Yeah.
So I'll sort of combine. I've got in a farm or company, 150, 200 miles north of us,
uh-huh.
where we can get our potato sets. They have, well, I think the last they had about 60-some different types of potatoes.
Really?
And they've branched out on a few other things, but they have the potatoes we like.
Yeah, like how far, geographically, you're not far from Idaho, right? I mean, potato
right.
country, right?
No, yeah. we're maybe straight across 50 miles or something. I'm not sure because the roads don't go straight here.
Right.
We're just 8 miles by road from the Oregon border.
Oh, really?
And I don't know if it's 35, 50 miles straight east.
Yeah.
The Blue Mountains, from our place view, people can see the Blue Mountains and the foothills of them, which is in, southeastern Washington, northeastern Oregon, and the corresponding part of Idaho.
So you're east of the Rockies.
West of the Rockies.
West of the Rockies.
East of the Cascades.
Yeah.
West of the Rockies.
West of the Rockies. All right. I'm going to ask the dumb question of the afternoon. Ready? Everybody ready?
I can tell
how excited. I don't have any idea. I eat lots of corn, but what do you plant when you plant corn? A big seed or what?
It's a seed. They just let the... the cob
yeah.
of corn dry.
Okay.
And you take the kernel once they're dry off them, and typically they'll allow them to dry a little more. Earlier I could grow popcorn. Last year I did pretty good. The 2 years before that, I watched for damage on top of my corn, because when the corn was ripe, the birds started eating it.
Yeah.
And I kept checking. As soon as I started seeing the tops of the tassel part all chewed up, I thought, okay.
Time to get it.
I was not able to dry any for saving for seed.
But popcorn, if you grow popcorn and you pop fresh popcorn, there'd be a lot of difference in that in what you'd get at Orville Rettenbacher
It depends on the variety. When I've grown it, I've grown what they call the Japanese hullus.
Uh-huh.
You don't have a big hull that you're chewing on. It's very mild, and it's got a nutty type. It's really got a good flavor. It's a little smaller. It's not the big... Sometimes the ones you buy are larger, yellow, and they're a lot bigger kernel, and they're bigger when they're popped. But there's many different kinds and even colors of popcorn.
But then again, if you pop your own corn, unless you buy, of course, the only kind of popcorn we buy is the kind you do in the microwave.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But if you pop your own corn, you have to do it in oil, don't you? I mean, you do it in peanut oil or Wesson oil.
Not necessarily.
Crisco or something.
Not necessarily. We've even done it on an old hand popper on top of the old wood stove, just shaking it back and forth.
Yeah.
You just shake, have the container shake it around so it doesn't sit in one spot, and they pop good.
I grew up popping corn on the stove like that in a pot. You know, just shake it around, rattle it, put a little oil in the bottom of the pot.
Just a little,
lid on
just
it.
Little bit of oil.
Yeah, and you can hear it starting going off like firecrackers.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep, that's right.
We had one, I think, that had a little crank on top that turned. That you turned this crank and moved the metal thing around in the popcorn popper.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was a kid, little kid, and of course later on we got an electric popcorn popper that you just put oil in and put the top on and hope for the best. Yeah, I got in big trouble at blind school bringing my popcorn popper. They took it away from me.
Oh no!
Yeah, if you can imagine that, blind school. All right,
that'd be good for you.
So, Ernest, what? Real quick, I guess. Which veggies or anything do you grow from plants? I mean, do you buy like tomato plants, or do you start with seeds or what?
Usually I buy tomato plants. Last year I started my own. And usually I'll buy the cabbage family, the broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower.
Right.
Walla Walla, you may have heard of the Walla Walla sweet onion. I don't know how far widely known it is, but it's a very nice, sweet-eaten, fresh. It's not a long keeper. It's a summer one.
Right.
And I get them. They start them in early. Well, they're probably starting them about now. So in March, they're little, like green onions that you buy in the store, and you set them out in the garden.
Yeah.
I have. If I'm growing cucumbers, I'll plant the seed. If we just want to heal, we'll just go down the nursery and buy a little pony or a little pot of three or four plants in it, and we'll set them out.
And you'll just set them out as they are, just in the dirt that they're already in?
Yeah, we just take them. Typically, they're pretty root-bound. And they come out real easy, and I just set them down.
Dig a hole, set them down in the ground, and
usually covering them a hair deeper than they were to start with, and then I water immediately, so everything's soaked in around them.
Yeah. But gardening is a day-to-day, every day you're out in the garden working, doing something, looking at your plants.
Pretty much. And it's a part, it's something that... Oh, okay, I was going to say you have to enjoy. You don't. Sometimes you do it because you feel you have to, but I enjoy it. And yes, I would be out there daily. I would be finding a new thing. I would be working on one crop and working on it. Then I'd go to the other end and find myself being surprised because there were so many weeds already.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd they come from?
Yeah.
Okay, and you hand pull.
Or I'll go out there and find... Ah, there's that special plant, that new one I've grown. Or like last year, I'll go out there and find there was a dozen broccoli plants. The rabbits came in. Now there's only four left. And
yep.
I don't have an answer for them yet.
For the rabbits?
Other than we seem to have picked up a cat and we have an extra dog, so I'm hoping with extra running in the yard, I'm hoping.
That they'll keep the rabbits away.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Darn. You had 12 plants and now you just got four.
We bought a dozen. I ended up with four, and the four did good. I had set out about three dozen cauliflower plants that I had started from seed.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get one of them.
The rabbits got all those.
They got them all.
That's amazing.
And I got enough peas from a row that should have given us a few pints anyway, plus eating. We got, I think, one meal out of them.
Man.
Don Shaw and I have talked about that, whether you want to go to Brookshire Brothers, our local store, and pay $2 for a pound of tomato or spend $50 and try to grow one.
Yeah, that's the deal right there. Yeah, we've all... Well, it's the same thing as deer hunting. My brother-in-law's got shot to couple deer this year, and boy, that's expensive meat.
Yeah, no kidding.
We could have gone to the store and bought. But you must enjoy this, or you it isn't the kind of thing a guy'd do if he didn't enjoy it.
That's
you know?
True.
And if it comes to a home garden, you do it because you enjoy it. I enjoy. I get out in the air. I get out working out there. It's exercise. I enjoy, and I can use the word loosely, seeing.
Uh-huh.
Our sighted friends may not understand, but I use it seeing the things grow.
Yeah.
There's nothing much better than picking a fresh tomato right from your garden.
There isn't for me. Wouldn't be. I love tomatoes.
The sweet corn. The sweet corn, fresh. I like my sweet corn. I go out there and bring it in. I husk it and leave the husk lay so they decay in the ground. And within an hour, we've got it cooked and we're eating it.
Yeah, and there's that's nothing better.
Sweet.
All right, sir, that's a little theme song. We're going to go, and in a few weeks, we want to do this again and maybe get more specific about how to grow certain plants, but we'll discuss that. Ernest, thank you very much, sir. You did a fantastic job.
Well, I thank you for inviting me.
Nice to meet you, Ernest.
Good talking with you, Ernest.
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you, folks, and have a good afternoon.
All right. I'll talk to you in a day or two. Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hoe, hammer, and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions. 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.